In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hovel's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the heroes of Hovel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
And then realizes, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 Aramon!
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I love that we are, like, completely convinced he can hold his own, even though he is a Kraken.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Nizak.
That is not Silpharia's name, you brutes! You Zithian scoundrels! You evil bastards!
We have bigger problems on our hands than your pondering about strange things.
Look, if you just would shave it right here or cut right here, it would be fine. All you hear is...
I really appreciate it. I am very good with this axe. Thank you.
He just shrugs, sighs.
Now, we begin.
1729 says, yes, this facility will be exploding sometime within the next hour because of the broken warts.
Oh, that's not good. That's really not good. Can we stop it? Can we fix it?
Monty turns to you and is like, what does that mean?
It means we're going to die unless we fix it or stop it.
And by my calculations, says 1729, it will explode and take out 30 square miles.
That includes the town and a lot of the farms and a lot of the lake.
I am not sure what the map is these days.
If the island went back down, how much damage would it do?
1729 thinks for a second. I imagine you could reduce the concussive destruction of the explosion by a factor of 30.
But there still might be casualties in that case, correct?
Yes, us.
That would be correct. And anybody who might be on the lake that gets caught in the tsunami that occurs.
I mean, I don't put it past the captain wanting to try and ride that out, but I don't want to give him that opportunity.
Odie, I am very glad that you have studied quite a bit because I feel like this is going to be entirely on you and I have the utmost faith in you.
Oh, don't put that on my shoulders. Oh, man.
Monty is like standing behind Aramon, nodding at you. As Aramon's saying that.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's go look at this thing and see if we can figure out how to stop it. I don't know. It's I read books. I don't make things.
I would love to give you a hand with this because I do not want to die, says 1729.
I appreciate that because I don't want you to die either. I don't want me to die. I don't want Aramon to die. I don't want Monty to die. I don't want the captain and his crew to die. I don't want the people in the town to die. Oh, my God. Let's go look at this.
So you walk out and start looking at the ward. This giant crystal latticework construct. It is sparking. There's a bit of fire like leaking out from one spot and it's getting worse and worse. There are numbers of crystals that look like they are missing or just smashed all over the ground.
Aramon is going to walk up to Odie and put his hand on her shoulder and go, what I said, I really mean. And I don't think this is intentional, but he's going to cast Bless.
What does it look like when you cast Bless accidentally?
I tell Odie I have the utmost faith in her and I think like for a minute my eyes start to glow a little bit with like this kind of misty bluish glow.
Oh man, that sucks because Bless only gives you to attack rolls or saving throws.
It's okay though, because that way if something blows up, she's that much more likely to survive.
It's very true. It's 100% true.
Mechanically speaking, what I'm hoping for is that somebody can give me help with this, which I think lets me roll at advantage.
I will, yes it does. I will say that because of Aramon's action and casting Bless on you, I will say that it fictionally positions him to allow you to give you the help action, magically. That makes a lot of sense to me, narratively. So, you're looking at this thing. You have no idea. The first step would probably be to figure out what's actually wrong with it.
Yeah, Odie is looking at it with this completely overwhelmed and terrified expression on her face, but then she looks back, kind of sees Aramon beside her, and Monty keeping close to Aramon, and then 1729 standing there, and like, okay, I can't fail. I have to do this. And I would like to make an arcana check.
You can. Would you all like to know how the rules of this work too? So that you can understand what your timing is and all that good
sure.
stuff? There are a number of things to be fixed that you don't know about yet, which is what you're about to roll to figure those things out. 1729 is also trying to figure things out too, to help you out. There is a timer running in the background. So each one of these checks takes some amount of time, like usually like 10, 15 minutes. I may give you the option to do it quickly if you roll high enough. Or to get more information, which means it'll still take some time off the timer. You have 7 ticks on this timer to get this stuff done. Each of these ticks, they're not like 10 minutes each, but you can think of them as being about like 10, 15 minutes each. That is a good way to consider the situation if you want to have the timing in your head. But really, it's just you have 7 chances essentially to figure this out and then fix it before it blows up.
Okay. I got a 23.
Nice roll. Would you like to know more things or just know a thing quickly?
I think for this, I would like to know more things.
All right. I will tell you more things. I will also roll for 1729. So with 1729's help, you talk for a moment. You get a feel for what's happening here, how the lattice work is constructed, what this ward actually does and how it is put together. I mentioned the fire before. There's a broken connector of fire. So some fire elemental magic needs to be like reattached there. That's one of the big problems. Another one is that there's a cracked series of wind crystals that aren't creating a proper flow of energy. That's when 1729 says, we need some more of these crystals. And you also see that there are earth crystals that need to be replaced. And 1729 helps with you with that too. So those are the 3 things that need to be fixed in order to fix this ward. 1729 says, we can probably find some crystals if they have been growing in the elemental drawing room. Oftentimes, because of the portal that was there, crystals would grow within that room.
So we need to fix a fire elemental connector?
Yep. You need to replace a bunch of wind crystals, and then you also need to replace a bunch of earth crystals.
And you said they're through that door?
Well, fixing the fire crystal is a thing that you might just have to do. 1729 says, I don't believe there are any fire crystals down here.
Okay.
We are at a loss for time. I could go look for crystals. I may not understand how this machine works, but I understand colors and what crystals are.
Monty looks around. You want me to stay with you or you want me to go with him?
I don't know.
Give me the claws. I'll go with him.
And she'll basically cast the claws on Monty.
Alrighty.
Everything will be fine. Remember that.
Okay. Aramon, what would you like to do?
I am going to go to the door and see if there is any, any trick to opening this and heading down in there.
You open the door. And there is a arcane device in here that looks like a gateway. There is nothing in the gateway. Sitting in the corner of the room is a pillar of water with a set of eyes that looks at you. We'll get back to that in a second. While that is starting to happen, Odie, what are you and 1729 doing?
I am looking at the flame crystal because this seems like the one that we're going to need to do ourselves regardless because we're not going to find a replacement for it, which means we need to fix it. Looking at it, she's like trying to figure out if any of her druidic magic can be used to like help restore the crystal and give it fire again. I have druidcraft, which does let me light a candle or a torch or a small campfire, which means I could provide fire.
Well, let me ask you a question. From your studies with Noelle, what reading and book did you peruse and passage that would assist you in repairing a crystal of fire?
The ecology and constitution of elemental creatures from the smallest mote or spark to a gargantuan being of ultimate power.
1729 looks at you. That is the worst title of a book I've ever heard of in my entire existence.
I know, right?
Terrible. But if it has the answer that we seek, I appreciate it.
I mean, maybe? I'm trying to remember.
Let me explain how this works. So each of these 3 problems has a DC associated with it. You will probably not succeed on the first try, and every time you try, it'll lower the DC. So you'll be spending time to lower DCs until you can actually accomplish your goal. Understood?
Understood.
All right, cool. You were not going to roll right now because Aramon opened the door, and then he sees this thing, and the thing goes, Zithian! Zithian! Die! And it charges at you. You could roll for initiative.
Do you want me to roll for initiative since I'm right here?
You absolutely can roll for initiative too, since it's potentially getting in the way of you doing your thing.
Monty has an 18.
1729 got a 17. The so far unnamed water elemental is at a 9. This elemental yells that and rushes towards you. It doesn't go, it just moves. Like, I just give it the one action. It's just running towards you, gets in the doorway. Monty is like, that's not good. What does Monty do?
Since he's got his shiny starlight claws, he thinks he's a pretty big badass. So Monty is going to go between Aramon's legs and scratch at this water elemental.
Love it.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Monty's going to miss. He got an 8.
Monty's badassery turns into nothing as his claws scrape onto the ground as the water like dodges to the left and the right. And then it reflects his face at him and says, I think not, small woodland creature. It speaks just like that, by the way. Odie, you see this water elemental in the doorway towering over Aramon. It is in the doorway, but above the doorway. It's 8 or 9 feet tall. It's very liquidy.
Oh, boy. I need your ruling as a GM.
Sure.
Can I cast Ice Knife at this thing in such a way that it doesn't hurt Aramon or Monty as well?
Yeah, of course. You guys are all a team. That's fine. It may have cover as there's a door there, right?
Yeah.
Which means it gets +2 its armor class. It's got that version of cover.
Hoping that hits. I got a 24.
Oh, yeah. That hits. Absolutely.
Okay, so it must. So it takes the 1d10 damage, but must make a dex save or take the 2d6 cold.
I made the save.
Okay.
Tell me what it looks like when you fling this ice knife as you yell for them to dodge out of the way.
So she's so busy looking at this fire conduit that needs to be fixed, and she sees it's just like, we don't have time for this, and just flings the ice from her hands over the top of Aramon's head and kind of almost on the past the elemental itself to kind of hit it on the far side of it.
Aramon, tell me how you protect yourself and Monty from the frigid ice explosion that occurs.
So I feel like this like encroaching cold, and I slide over to the side and then push out with my boot and slide Monty away from the door frame with my boot as I duck under it.
With that, 1729 looks at the elemental. Ligurio, is that you? The elemental looks at 1729. What have they done to you? You are trapped in that terrible body. This cannot stand. It cannot stand. Ligurio is beside themselves with what is happening here, seeing what's going on. 1729 is also very confused by the situation. Although 1729 saying that distracts Ligurio enough that they have disadvantage on their attacks this turn, which is probably good for you both. Aramon, you are in the way. Aramon, you get two water tendrils just blasting at you. Like, they're just slapping down at you. That's a miss with the disadvantage. Ooh. That's probably a hit. The low roll was a 23.
Yes.
Ouch.
Unfortunately, my chainmail is not quite that sturdy.
You take all of 6 points of damage.
I can handle it.
You are also grappled as the water tendril enwraps you and lifts you up off the ground a little bit. Aramon, it is your turn.
So, I was actually approaching the door with the axe out because I was going to use the axe to crack some crystals off. But now that this thing has wrapped its watery tendrils around me, I go, as my friend said, we do not have time for this. And I will pull the longsword out with the other hand. And I'm going to swing with the longsword. That would be a 14.
Yeah, that hits.
All right. So, the longsword comes across and does 4 points of slashing damage. And then, as I cut high with the longsword, I reverse the axe and bring it up to cut beneath and then pull it out, if it hits. Whoa.
I mean, a 22 hits, for sure.
That is 6 points of damage with the hand axe.
You cut into Ligurio. Ligurio looks down at the weapons. He's a little shocked that they hurt him. When you look at your weapons, there is some sort of magical energy flowing through them that you are not sure where it came from.
Odie, did you do this?
Do what? Just deal with it.
I'm not upset. I was just wondering. Is there something I should know more about what I'm doing here?
Monty looks back at you, Odie, for a second.
I don't know where it came from. It's not like it's not like my claws.
It is Monty's turn.
Monty will try attacking again. That's much better. He does 4 points of damage.
Monty gets in there and starts raking at the bottom of Ligurio. His claws tearing through the water. Ligurio looks down, not amused by what is happening here. Odie, it is your turn.
I would like to, before I do any sort of attack action, would like to try and yell at Ligurio. What are you doing? We didn't do anything to 1729. He's helping us. We're helping him. Please stop attacking us.
That is not Silfaria's name, you brutes. You Zithian scoundrels. You evil bastards.
I'm not Zithian.
You look just like them and use their magics.
And that's when she's going to use a wild shape to hit it with her arrow. That's not going to hit.
But you look really impressive now.
You turn starlight though, right?
Yeah.
So tell me what this looks like as you do it.
It's this glow of starlight around her. She almost looks translucent, like the void of the night sky filled with stars kind of merges with who Odie is. So there's this luminescent glow around her, but it's also still this sense of darkness.
Ligurio looks at you, stops once again stunned.
By the Aquids, the starlights have returned?
He seems taken aback once again. Even 1729 looks over at you. Or Silfaria, their actual name. Her eyes agape, their eyes agape. Are you one of the Starlights Returned?
I'm a druid of the Circle of Stars. I don't know what you're talking about.
This guy can move with while holding you. Starts sliding across. I wish not to fight with the royals. Comes to the door, drops you as goes through the door, and starts running away. He gets towards the exit as he's moving away. He doesn't quite get out yet, though. He drops you right by the door, Aramon, the other door that's on the far side of the room. Aramon, it is your turn.
If the elemental is going to continue on its way out, I think we have more pressing things to do than making sure that it is not currently a threat. Although, I will stop for a second and ponder. Odie, do you think if there was like a prison for elementals, it would be like, I don't know, an icebox? Would they like freeze something and just keep it in cold temperatures so that it just sat there? Like,
that wouldn't work for a fire elemental, Aramon.
Well, that would be a different part of the prison.
We have bigger problems on our hands than your pondering about strange things.
And at that, I will head back into the room where we found the elemental.
Monty looks around. Did that just happen? What do they mean, royals? What are starlights? I don't understand what's going on here.
We can talk. We can talk to 1729 or Silfarin. Is that your name?
1729 nods when you say Silfaria, which is what the elemental Ligurio said. Now remember, there's a bunch of things that 1729 can't say. You asked them questions before, and they could only answer so much stuff because they have a bunch of limiters on them, probably based on the construct that she is bound to. Also, if you can't remember, she prefers to be bound to this construct because without it, she'd be dead. She is a crystallized version of her soul that is embedded in this thing and no longer an elemental. Without this construct, she wouldn't be able to function. She'd just be gone.
Well, I will call you what you wish. But for now, let's deal with this.
Ligurio just leaves. He's gone. You can get back to this problem that you were dealing with, which is a pretty bad problem, actually.
Yeah.
Aramon, you go walk into the room?
Yes.
There are a number of crystal growths all around the room that are earth and water crystals. They're growing off of this portal that is defunct. It is a gateway of some sort. It's like an archway. You're pretty sure that it goes into the ground, and you just can't see that part because they built it like a circle. If you want a modern version of what, like a version of this that you could think of yourself, it looks like a Stargate a little bit, except if it was an elemental Stargate. What do you do?
I will call back out to Odie and say, how big should I make these?
She'll shout out the size based on what's already in the thing that they need to replace.
Yeah, and 1729 will assist you with adjustments and whatnot.
I am going to use the axe as best I can to chop some of these things off.
Hey, why don't you give me a dex roll? If you have sleight of hand, you can use sleight of hand. I assume you don't have sleight of hand.
No. That is an 8.
Yeah, it just takes you a little more time to get the crystals together, that's all. But you managed to cut enough of them together. Monty helps you too. Actually, I should roll for Monty. Monty helps you too. It takes a little while to get the crystals together.
Meanwhile, out there, we're focusing on the fire crystal.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do to fix this fire crystal?
So I have the fire magic through Druidcraft. The question is how do we hold it back together? And maybe it's a matter of just giving it enough fire that it kind of heals itself. That's probably what Odie is going to try first.
Okay, sounds good. Go ahead and give me an Arcana or Nature check, your choice, with the Druidcraft.
Arcana is actually better for her.
Oh, jeez.
Natural 20.
24 is the number. I will tell you, in this case, what happens is that you did not hit the DC because the DC is high, but you reduced the DC by 8.
But I feel like I'm on the right track.
You are. You can see that the fire crystal, in fact, you can tell me how the fire crystal is starting to mend itself.
The cracks are strong and kind of dark, where maybe the fire, like the magma that is inside of it, kind of hardened. It needs to go back to its fire form, and she's starting to slowly get that melted again.
As that's going on, 1729 is collecting the broken bits of the crystal to help with the parts that have fallen off of it so that you can mend those back together also. In the room, Aramon and Monty. Monty is arguing with you, but you can't understand him. Odie can hear, and so can 1729. He's like, look, if you just would shave it right here or cut right here, it would be fine. All you hear is...
I really appreciate it. I am very good with those axe. Thank you.
He just shrugs, sighs, starts like trying to like draw lines on the crystal with his claws for you to cut. When you cut and you miss, he just shakes his head. This is not going very well. Just takes time, that's all. Eventually you get them. But instead of taking like 10 minutes, it takes you guys like a half an hour to collect the crystals. Back out in the other room. What's your next step with the fire crystal?
I'm going to try again, this time holding, maybe trying to hold the pieces close to it, letting them melt into place.
Okay.
I'm also casting guidance on myself.
Seems wise.
For this next one. So that's a 22.
Nice, that's actually exactly what you needed to succeed. Rules-wise, just so you know what happened, it started at a DC 30. Your 24 knocked it down by 8, and then that took it to a 22, and then you rolled a 22. So you sealed it on that check. It only took you about 30 minutes to get it all together.
Excellent.
With that, the fire crystal is fixed, and you see that the fire is no longer leaking out, and 1729 nods at you. Very good work. Very impressive.
Thank you. But we still have to fix the rest of it. It's still going to blow, right?
Mm-hmm. We could just repair those crystals as before, or if they bring those crystals out, it might be easier. They come out. You guys can come out now with the crystals. We are now at that point. Monty walks over with some crystals in his hand. That guy does not know how to cut anything with an axe. 1729 looks at Monty, looks at you, Odie, looks over at you, Aramon. Monty said you did a great job.
I know. He's very supportive. I appreciate it.
Monty is just like staring at 1729 with eyes wide, his like mouth agape.
That's not what I said. That's Odie.
Thank you for your help, Monty. And she's trying really hard to keep the giggles in.
He's like, I don't get enough berries for this. And he just like walks over, kicks like a broken crystal on the ground, sits on the ground, pouts. What's your next step?
So we have one broken earth crystal that we need to replace, or two broken earth crystals that need to be replaced?
You have a set of broken earth crystals that need to be replaced, and a set of broken wind crystals. But you have the replacements now. In fact, that actually reduces the DC for both of those by 5.
Probably start on the earth crystals.
Okay.
I feel like getting those settled would be good.
So this is like a 3D lattice work, right? And it's about putting them in the right place and angling them the correct way, and then maybe adjusting them as need be.
Monty, would you help me with this? I think your claws are more dexterous than my hands and can get into the places that we need to get into here.
Sure.
Because I think we're going to need to hold all three at once.
Sure, sure, no problem. He hops up on your shoulder.
I want the help action.
Yeah, okay. By the way, putting them in there and adjusting them. One, figuring out where they go, and then two, putting them in there and adjusting them is like the Arcana check might be a little harder than the dexterity version of the check.
Well, I'm going to roll Arcana.
Well, if you roll a 25, I guess it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Cool. You can tell me how you reset all of the earth crystals just fine.
It's almost like Odie and Monty are playing some sort of medieval fantasy version of Twister. Because I'm picturing the earth crystals as being lower to the ground in this lattice work. And so she's leaning over, trying to hold one in place, while Monty's coming around to hold it in another place. And then there's just that little bit of druidcraft magic to kind of seal them in place.
Very nice. While that's going on, 1729 is trying to reset the wind crystals, except they don't sit like on the latticework. They actually orbit around it in a current. 1729 looks at you, Aramon. Would you please assist me, Sir Knight?
Yes, I would be happy to. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to say no, but because we were kind of talking about divine sense and almost seeing like the, you know, residue of magic instead of just, you know, certain types of creatures, I was wondering if I could burn one of my divine senses and maybe see like the pattern that these are supposed to be in and use that to help align them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I could say this is supposed to be there.
That sounds great.
All right.
So what does it look like then to you? What does this pattern look like?
I'm going to stare at it very intently, and I see like kind of like a double image as if something's a little bit blurry, but the second image is showing exactly where things are supposed to be at in the right place. And I'm kind of seeing like wherever there's a place where you could put something in that, you know, orbital path, it kind of flares right at the right time. So I can kind of sit there and go, try it now. Try it now. Try it now.
Why don't you roll 2d20 for me? Add 4 to them.
All right.
That is what 1729 gets for their bonus to their check.
That would be a 12 and a 14. So that would be a 14 and a 16.
You're working your way through this. You've got about 2/3 of them set, but you're not quite done yet. This thing is starting to speed up in its in the humming to the potential explosion going on. You think you have somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes before this thing implodes and explodes. But you only have these last few wing crystals to reset. Odie, what do you do?
Do I think this one is going to be more reliant on physical skill or arcana knowledge?
Either one will work. And they're both about equally difficult, because you're at that point in the stage now of putting this thing back together. Also, Ahriman, you can help her if you'd like to.
I think, actually, when I am talking to our elemental construct friend, I'm not as used to pointing things out. I'm almost too polite, like, oh, you could try this now, instead of just saying, now, do it now. And I am much more relaxed because Odie and I have worked together doing things, even when it was just silly things when we were kids getting in trouble. So as soon as she's in there, I'm a little bit more relaxed and saying, remember that time when this happened and you threw the rock and skipped the stone? Remember, it lined up like this? That's what you need to do here.
I would like to roll Arcana for this, but I would also like to involve Monty in it, saying she's holding him up so he can place the crystals into the air currents where
sure
they need
thing.
To go.
Can't get the help action twice, but
right,
you can totally
right.
have Monty be part of the solution.
And I'm doing the casting guidance again, because let's just cover all the bases. That's a 19.
Tell me how you finish fixing this latticework ward so that it doesn't explode anymore. It doesn't really ward anything anymore, but it doesn't explode, which is probably the better thing.
So we have Ahriman basically using his sight to see where the currents are, where these things need to go. Odie is standing, she's standing on her tiptoes with Monty in her arms above herself like it's some kind of scene from The Lion King. And he's got the crystal in his hand and he's reaching as far as he can. And then pop! The last crystal goes into place and the humming stops.
1729 nods. Very well done, with about 5 minutes to spare.
Odie just flumps to the floor and just like holds Monty like a teddy bear for a moment, burying her face in his fur.
Yeah, that was I need to eat some berries for like a week and take a break.
Yeah, there's some in the backpack.
Monty gives you the claw thumbs up, Ahriman.
I will give him the thumbs up as well. I will look over at Odie and say, Father always used to tell me I should not fight two-handed, even though I wanted to. He said it was much better for me to just use both hands on one grip on a sword, even though I really did like to fight with, you know, a weapon in each hand. And did you see that? I managed to do the reverse pull grip on the axe, and I never could convince him that I was good at that technique, and it worked this time.
With her face still buried in Monty's fur, you hear her kind of say, you know, Ahriman, you don't need to listen to everything your father says anymore.
I was going to ask 1729, would it be safer, because it seems like if these crystals are disturbed, something bad could still happen. Do you think it might be safer if we lower this back down, and do we have enough time to leave if we start the process?
Yes.
We should submerge the island.
I agree.
I don't want anyone accidentally coming in here and messing with this and hurting people for miles around.
So in the room with the elemental summoning portal that is now defunct, and there's also smashed crystals all over the place because Ahriman didn't do such a great job. Although he thinks he did a great job, which is the important part.
I only ruined half of them.
There is a circle on the ground. It's a magic circle inlaid with silver and gold, but it is recessed down a little bit. 1729 points at that. If you stand down there and speak the word lower, it will lower you down.
That's kind of neat. By the way, Odie is probably picking up one of the crystals that wasn't good enough that Ahriman broke off and pocketing it, just because it's kind of a little souvenir.
Do you want a wind one, a water one, or an earth one?
Wind.
Okay, you can put that somewhere. Who would like to go down first?
Odie will go with Monty, unless Ahriman wants to go first.
That is all right, as long as you think you're going to be safe.
I mean, I've got Monty with me. What could go wrong?
Absolutely.
It's a lot of confidence you have in me. I'm just a raccoon.
She kisses his forehead.
Aw, you're sweet. You descend down. In the middle of this room is a stone-carved device. There are arcane runes all over it that look like you could touch them and they would light up. You've seen them in books before. You touch them and they issue commands, essentially, to whatever the arcane machine is. This is very old, highly powerful, magical technology that you've even read that it still exists in some places, but it doesn't work. A lot of theories about why it doesn't work. Some people say that when the Zithian Empire died out, their magic died out with them. Some people say that when they cast the great spell that sealed away some of the titans, it destroyed the prevalence of magic in the world so that there wasn't enough magic to operate the devices. Some say that they would only respond to the Zithians, so that's why they would not activate anymore. You're not sure why, but that's what is there. And you can see that it drives into the ground, and it looks like it corkscrews this whole place. Well, like corkscrewed down into the ground if this machine activates.
Is there going to be enough time to activate it and get out of here?
1729 then descends, walks over to you. I'm sure Aramon comes shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
1729 looks at the console. There is a way to set the timer so that we can leave before it descends.
Okay. How do we do that? Show me, please.
I am unfortunately not allowed.
Oh, of course not. I know you can't show me, but can you make a funny noise if I get close to the right things to touch?
What I can do is give you the basics of Zithian, at least enough to maybe figure it out yourself.
Okay.
So you spend an hour learning the basics of Zithian. 1729 using a crystal that she picked up from upstairs to draw like chalk on the ground, the Zithian runes, and explaining what they are. That will give you at least the fictional positioning to then try to operate the machine.
Yeah.
While this is going on, Aramon, what are you doing?
I think I'm just kind of wandering around the room, looking up and down, taking in all of this, because I am interested in seeing new things that I haven't seen before, and this has been rather interesting, even if I don't quite understand it or internalize it the way Odie does.
After about 45 minutes of this, Aramon, you're looking at the walls, and this whole place is made of stone, dirt, stuff like that. Some of the mud on the walls and the ceiling starts to slowly ooze and move.
I don't trust mud that moves of its own accord.
Yeah, that's probably wise. So we cut back over to 1729 and Odie. This right here is the rune for warding. And then she looks over at the machine. As you've like gone back and forth looking at the machine, looking at the runes that she's laying out, you're pretty sure there's like a warding command to ward the facility so things can't get into it or out of it. That's what the Zithians put on it, especially because of the elementals could just like move through other elements like earth. So magic could keep things out. She might be looking at that and then looking at you, not because of the walls, just in general. You stated earlier that you'd like to sink this thing and not let people get at it or anybody get at it.
I think Odie's picking up on what she's putting down.
With that, a couple of mud creatures plop down onto the ground and stand up. Now, we're going to have this encounter. We can roll for initiative. You can try to turn the machine on, especially that part, Odie. There is some amount of skill checks that are involved in doing that while these things are coming in, because you can see that more of them are starting to try to get in too.
Okay.
Odie, whatever you're doing, I assume it is very important, and it is not something that I could do. Therefore, I am going to hold these things off. Don't feel any pressure, but if you could act with alacrity, I would appreciate it.
Ooh, that was a big word.
My father used to use it all the time.
All right, Odie, what do you want to do?
I would like to see if I can put the ward back up on the facility.
Same deal as before. There's a DC that will descend as you roll.
I am not going to have guidance this turn because I'm casting Starlight Claws as a bonus action on Monty.
Okay.
And then I am doing the thing.
Yeah, I got the Starlight Claws!
With the 12, I would have rerolled. Can we say my result is the 20 since I accidentally had advantage on still?
Sure. You are starting to figure out maybe what the ward... You press a few runes. Something activates, the thing starts twisting a little bit, and then it stops because you hit another one of the runes, and you're like, that didn't work the way I thought it would, but now it can't be these ones. It's not that combination. Maybe it's this combination. You can try that next time. You were getting closer.
Yeah.
Monty's up.
Monty's going to look back at Aramond and then charge and claw up that one and probably not do anything.
He is not going to. He's going to try. His Starlight Claws, like, sink into the mud and then pulls them out, and there's just mud all over his Starlight Claws. Like, what's this? Why didn't it work? Why don't you roll for 1729? 1729 blasts one of the creatures with a water blast.
That is a 16 on the die.
Oh, yeah, that's a hit.
All right, that is 6 points of damage, then.
You blast that mud creature, and a bunch of it just shuffles off of it, and you can see the bones underneath. These don't seem like the ones that you fought before. Those ones, they move kind of slow. These ones are a little bit more... limber and quick. Almost like they're skeletons that are quick with mud just covering them. Aramon, you're up.
There are some things in this world that I learned that are new that I appreciate, and other things that I do not appreciate. Okay, I'm going to charge up to the other one, because I am going to trust my raccoon companion to keep the other one busy while Odie works on the machine. But I am also going to, have the longsword and the axe out again, because I'm going to try this again. So I'm going to cut across with the longsword. That is a 16, swinging it one-handed.
That is yes.
And that is only 2 points of slashing, unfortunately. So, I get a 22 with the axe, and that is 6 points of damage with the axe again. I am really getting the hang of this. You see, if you just turn them slightly aside with the sword, then you can bring this around and really cut in there and pull on it.
To just backtrack a second, Monty walks up to the mud guy and tries to slash at it, and then there's the water blast, and Monty's like, yeah, take that, and now you have to deal with my big brother Aram, and then he sees you run by and he's like, where are you going? Why would you just leave me? I'm a raccoon. Not that you can understand him.
I love that we are like completely convinced he can hold his own, even though he is a raccoon.
It's probably good for Monty. I don't think I caught him. No, he's an AC 13. So as Monty's like, oh God, what are you doing? Then the mud monster starts slapping at him. He's like, no, no. He's like jumping around off the wall, around the mud slaps. The other one tries to hit you with its muddy arms. Does a 15 hit you?
A 15 just misses.
Oh, so you managed to just avoid being slapped by the muddy arm. And more disturbingly, as it just misses you, like it swings down. The mud on its arms, it swings at you and misses you. Then the mud like reaches out to the left of where you dodged and tries to grab you too, like the mud is alive.
It's like they're working together, and I don't like that.
With that, another one plops into the room.
Ugh.
On the left side of the room instead of the right side. Or west side instead of the east side. Odie, your turn.
This time I am casting guidance again. I'm going to re-roll.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
You figure it out. Tell me how you figure it out and turn the wards on.
She's looking at the wards, and she keeps looking back at Silfaria for, like, maybe a nod of approval, and she's not getting it because Silfaria's focused on trying to deal with the mud creatures, and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, wait, I remember now, and then boop, 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 on the right combination of wards to set the wards back up.
When that happens, you see a shimmer, like a white shimmer, like, encase the outer walls of this place. As it rises up, two of the mud creatures that were trying to burrow in get cut in half, and they just both, parts of them just both fall down and just splat on the ground. The other mud creatures are still active and working inside of the barrier, but it looks like nothing else can get inside now. It is Monty's turn.
Monty's gonna attack.
You are doing so well, Monty. I'm glad that I trusted you to hold your own over there.
One of these days you're gonna understand me, and it's not gonna be great.
Does 15 hit?
It does.
7 points of damage from Monty.
Nice. Tell me how Monty kills this mud creature.
Monty's like so put out with Aramon abandoning him that he's continuing to kind of grumble, and he's just like, I don't have time for you, and slash, like cuts it off at the knees.
And it just collapses in front of Monty. It's a skull bouncing out of the muddy body. 1792 turns around and shoots a water blast at the one that's behind them. Go ahead, roll a d20, Aramon.
Oh, that is only a 5, unfortunately.
The mud creature actually dodges down into the right as it shoots, as 1729 shoots over its shoulder. She is standing in front of Odie, protecting Odie. Aramon, it is your turn.
All right. I am going to swing with the longsword. That is a 23 to hit, and that is a 20 on the die.
That's a crit.
So that is 8 points of slashing damage, which could have been better, but at least it wasn't 2.
All right.
And then he's going to use his bonus action for the hand axe. This time he only got a 5, unfortunately.
Did we talk about using the alternative crit rules for players in this game?
I do not remember.
I don't actually like the crit rules in 5th edition D&D. Maybe we haven't talked about this yet, but my preferred method of using the crit rules is you will do the maximum of your damage and then roll your damage dice again. Because I think that feels more like a crit. Now, I don't always let the bad guys do that. I usually just let them maximize their dice in return because it could be bad. But I'll let you guys choose which rules you want to use. Do you want to use the double the damage dice, or do you want to use maximize the damage and then roll your damage dice again? Well, bad guys just maximize their damage dice instead of rolling their damage dice again. Which one do you guys want?
What I like is the max damage and then you roll additional damage.
All right. Go ahead. Instead of your 4 plus 4, Jared, you can give me the maximum plus a die roll.
That would have been a 12.
Yeah, 12 is good. 12 kills it, by the way. Tell me how you kill this thing with your longsword.
I hack down on it with the longsword, and I'm thinking that I'm just going to do the turning it aside and then bringing the hand axe around, but I notice that it kind of makes a mistake and moves towards me, so I just reverse my grip and shove the longsword straight in and then pull it out.
Which kills it a lot. Just splat, mud, bones everywhere. It's still your turn, by the way.
Let's see, can I make it over to the other one?
Yes.
Okay, so I will run over to the other side, and since I didn't get to do my follow-up, I'm going to use my bonus action to swing the hand axe. That is a 22 to hit with the hand axe.
Third time in a row, 22.
And that is 1 point of damage.
Not six. The mud creature. It tries to get... Oh, I got you that time. I rolled 22. So the mud creature hits you with the mud. You take 4 points of damage, and then make strength saving throw. The DC is 14.
I do not make that.
So it hits you, and then it engulfs you. There is just mud all around you, and you can feel the bones, the rib cage, like, wrapping around your body, and the bones, like, trying to match themselves up to your body. Odie, what do you do?
I'm going to cast a guiding bolt at this thing that has engulfed my friend.
You certainly can.
Does a 19 hit?
It does, in fact, hit.
13 radiant damage.
Cool. It takes 13 radiant damage, kills it. Aramon also takes 13 radiant damage.
So I am down.
Well, I will run over and try to heal him.
Yeah, tell me what it looks like as you blast both this thing out of existence and then Aramon right in, you know, the chest with a radiant bolt.
I think it was more powerful than she was expecting it to be. And so it was like, you know, she's like, let him go! Hits it with the damn, you know, this bolt of starlight luminescence. And then realizes, oh no. Aramon! And she will try and heal him.
Does she have healing spells?
I have cure wounds.
Yeah, 1729 also has a healing spell, and will use these waters that give him life at the same time as you were healing him with your starlight energy.
So it looks like I heal 11 points.
Yeah, and 1729 heals 5.
I'm actually not up to full, but back to where I was at the start of this session.
Sorry.
It is all right. These things happen.
Yeah, 1729, you see water ebbs from her hand into... out and around your wounds, and that's what closes up the wounds. The water actually heals them.
That feels nice. That's very relaxing.
Okay, so let's get this thing closed and let's the four of us get out of here.
You can now easily, with time, since you have infinite time to do this, figure out how to set the timer, turn it on, have this place sink into the ground and vacate as it's doing so. As you leave, you go to the surface and see Captain Graves on his fishing boat. Fairly near the island as it's starting to slowly lower into the water. You okay over there?
Yep, but we should probably get out of here.
Sounds good. Come, I'll get as close as I can. He gets as close as he can. You had to, like, swim there last time.
I'll turn to Silfaria. Are you going to be okay getting to the boat?
I believe so. She walks into the water, and then she starts swimming. And she seems rather joyful about it. Like, there's some crystals on her, blue crystals. They're glowing a little bit brighter. You won't make it to the boat. So, says Captain Graves, what happened out there? I saw this creature, a water elemental, I believe, just came out of the place and ran into the water and ran away.
Yeah, it was an ancient Zithian structure, but we dealt with it, and she'll share a look with Aramon, hoping to kind of get across that she doesn't necessarily want to tell the people that we nearly blew up a 30-mile radius or diameter of... area, but she'll just say, we dealt with the problem and the island is sinking back to where it was, so it won't be a problem for the town anymore.
Aramon is busy looking on the bright side anyway, because he's like, that water elemental didn't seem like such a bad guy. He woke up in a bad mood. He didn't know what was going on. I understand. He just needed to get away.
Okay, then. A little above my pay grade, I suppose. I just like to fish out here. But if there's going to be no more problems from this, then that makes me quite happy.
Still be on the guard for the mud creatures and other problems, because things still are dangerous, but you don't have to worry about this island anymore.
Ah. Where can I drop you off?
She looks at Aramon. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
I think we should probably just head back to the inn, get cleaned up, and then get ready to hit the road to meet back up with Baroness.
Well, how far could you take us, Captain?
Where would you like to go?
Well, the we're going to meet up with the rest of them in Nooks.
Oh, I could take you to Nooks if you'd like.
Yeah, let's do that.
Sounds good. Who is your friend here?
Oh, Captain Graves, this is Silfaria. Silfaria, this is Captain Graves.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Captain Graves. Silfaria, nice to meet you. She nods. Well, never had anything like you on my boat before. It's a pleasure. Do you need anything? No, I will just sit here and wait until we get where we're going. Silfaria sits down. The boat proceeds. And in a few hours, like 7 or 8 hours, you arrive in Nux. This was Chapter 7 of The Heroes of Hobble's Way, Wards. Angela Murray played Odie. Jared Rasher played Aramon. Christopher Snezak played everyone and everything else. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. We look forward to bringing you more of this actual play series. If you'd like to interact with us, you can check out our Discord server. There is a link in our show notes. You can also help by becoming a patron. Each episode, I'll be giving a DM commentary on the choices I make called Chris's Hovel. I'll be talking about the game, plus I'll probably be talking a little bit about the editing and sound design if you're interested in that. Also, there are at least bi-weekly PDF content releases. You can get that at patreon.com/THAC0WA. That's patreon.com/Thakawa. You can check it out with a free 7-day membership and stick around if you want for $5 a month. This helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage, the fantasy-focused RPG advice show Ange and Jared host. Speaking of patrons, I'd like to thank some of ours. David Ridout, Jared Rasher, Matea the Sorceress, the Polish Ogre, Doug Rass, and Victor Wyatt. Thank you so much for being our patrons so that we can make this show and others. Finally, we're part of the Polygamerus Podcast Network, where we want to help you play your best games. If you enjoyed The Heroes of Hovel's Way, you might want to check out MM Play's season of Children of the Shroud. That's our high school urban fantasy game. The whole series is currently out and is edited very much like this one. Last, I'd like to say thank you all so much for listening. And if you ever can't understand a raccoon that's fighting with you, maybe figure out how to speak to animals, because man, do they get angry sometimes.